In just a few moments, we'll stand to sing the song announced to give you an opportunity to render obedience to the gospel. And all things have been made ready and convenient that you might be baptized into Jesus Christ and enjoy all spiritual blessings in Him. Wednesday night, about midnight, we were made to rejoice as two precious souls, Brandy and KT, upon the confession of their faith in Christ, were baptized into Jesus Christ and His body. I want to take just a few moments to talk to you this morning about when you're baptized. There may be those in this audience who've not yet been baptized and have been thinking about it, and I want to talk to you about some things that take place when you're baptized. Let me suggest to you that when you're baptized, as the Bible teaches, there's some things that will have happened before you're baptized. And that is, when you're baptized, first of all, you will have been taught the truth. In the book of Matthew, chapter 28, and in verses 19 and 20, the Lord commissioned His apostles, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them." I might ask you the question, who does "them" refer to when He said baptizing them? He just said teach all nations. And so those to be baptized are those who, first of all, have been taught. Taught what? Mark's account holds the answer. When in Mark 16:15, the Lord said, "Go ye into all the world and preach." Preach what? The gospel to every creature. And so when I'm baptized, I'll first have been taught the gospel. From Acts 2 through 19, every time folks were baptized, they were first taught. Take the example in Acts 2. The apostles were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in the languages of the people represented on Pentecost. Peter preached Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 2:22 and 23. He preached some amazing facts. The fact that Jesus was put to death, that He was buried, that He arose from the dead, and that He was at the right hand of God exalted. His preaching was very powerful. They were convicted of sin in their lives. He said, "Ye have taken and with wicked hands have crucified and slain." And so they cried out, "What shall we do?" Acts 2:37. They were told what to do: repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. And they that gladly received His word were baptized. Acts 2:41. That's repeated throughout the book of Acts, as you find folks who were first taught and then baptized. And so when you're baptized, you'll have first of all been taught the truth. As Peter said, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, being born again by the Word of God," 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. If I've not been taught the truth, then I've not been born again. Because it takes my hearing the truth, believing the truth, and obeying the truth for my soul to be purified and for me to be born again. But let me suggest something else about when you're baptized. Not only will you first have been taught, but in addition to that, you will have believed. For faith comes before our being baptized. In Mark 16:16, the Lord said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Notice the order: believeth, baptized, saved. In Acts 8:12, the Bible says, "But when they believe Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized." When were they baptized? When they believed. When you believe, you'll be baptized. When you're baptized, you will have believed. In Acts 8, again, when in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and preached to the Ethiopian, Jesus. They came unto a certain water, and the man said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, If what? "Thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." That makes faith a condition of baptism. And so when you're baptized, you will have, first of all, been taught and believed. In addition to that, when you're baptized, you will have repented of your sins. You know, the Lord preached, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Luke 13:3. And throughout the preaching that was done in the book of Acts, the cry was heard for folks to repent, like Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Acts 17 and 30, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And so when you're baptized, you will have repented. And that simply means that you have changed your mind and you've changed your life. Whatever it is that constitutes sin of which you've been guilty, you've determined to quit doing that and to start doing what's pleasing and acceptable in the sight of God. But also, when you're baptized, you will have confessed Christ before men with the mouth. For in Matthew 10:32, the Lord said, whosoever therefore shall confess... Confess what? What do you confess before you're baptized? The Lord said, confess me. He was the one doing the speaking. Before men. Him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If I want the Lord to confess me before the Father, then I must confess Him before men here on earth. In the book of Romans 10, 9 and 10, Paul said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and that confession is made unto salvation. I can't think of a better example than when the man of Ethiopia in Acts 8, upon seeing water, said, here is water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And he was told, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He answered and said, what did he say? I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm thrilled that I was able to witness two individuals make that grand statement. To say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you're baptized, you'll make that same confession. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But also, when you're baptized, let me suggest to you that you will be immersed in water. When you're baptized, you'll not just have a little water sprinkled on you or poured over you, or somebody take a little sponge or rag and wipe you down. That's not Bible baptism. But when you're baptized, it'll be like it was in Acts chapter 8. When they came under a certain water, they went down both into the water, both the man that was being baptized and the preacher, Philip. And he baptized him. That word baptized simply means an immersion, a burial. You'll be buried beneath the water and come up out of the water just like he did. When you're baptized, it'll be a burial, as Paul said, buried with him in baptism. Romans chapter 6. Verses 3 and 4. And so when you're baptized, you'll first have been taught the truth of the gospel. You'll have believed. You will have repented of your sins. You will have confessed Christ before men. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when you're baptized, you'll be buried in water. Let me suggest to you another thing that happens when you're baptized. And that is, when you're baptized, the Bible teaches you'll be saved. In Mark chapter 16 and in verse 16, the Lord said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. Now, most religious people try to put salvation before baptism. They change the order. They say, he that believeth is saved and shall be baptized if he so chooses. The Bible does not teach that. The Bible order is believeth, baptized, saved. Peter penned in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. That's salvation from past sins, as the Bible talks about in the book of Romans chapter 3 and in verse 25. But let me suggest to you another thing that happens when you're baptized, and that is, when you're baptized, you'll be born again. The Lord taught that entrance into the kingdom is by process of a new birth. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, 3 and 5, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Peter also wrote about that in 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 23 when he declared, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. And thus you'll be a newborn babe, as Peter described in 1 Peter 2 and in verse 2. That is, from a spiritual standpoint, you'll have been born again. But also the Bible teaches that when you're baptized, your sins are remitted. In the book of Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized. Why? For the remission of sins. That word remission simply means pardon or forgiveness of. In order for my sins to be forgiven and remitted, I need to be baptized. My sins will be let go. Whatever it is that I've done that is unacceptable to God, that is sinful in His sight, it will be remitted. It'll be forgiven. When you're baptized, your sins will be remitted. I tell you another thing that will happen when you're baptized, and that is when you're baptized, you'll be added to the Lord's church. In Acts chapter 2, when they gladly received the word and were baptized, you know what happened? The Bible says, verse 47, the Lord added them to the church. There's only one church revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. You know which one that is? The one Jesus said, I will build. Matthew 16:18. The one over which He is head. Ephesians 1:22-23. The one of which He is the Savior. Ephesians 5:23. The church built by Christ. Paul said in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. Someone says, how do I enter that church? How do I become a member of that church? You are added to it by the Lord when you're baptized. Paul said in Ephesians 4:4, there is one body. He identified the one body as the church. In Ephesians 1:22-23, when he talked about the church which is His body, and we're baptized into one body. 1 Corinthians 12:13. I'll tell you another thing that happens when you're baptized, and that is when you're baptized, your sins are washed away. You remember reading about Saul in Acts chapter 9, how he was at that time persecuting members of the church? He'd find Christians and put them in prison. When Stephen was being stoned, he consented, that is, he gave his approval. Let him be stoned. And he's holding the garments. He's headed to Damascus because he had letters from the authorities saying, if he found any of this way, that is, any Christians, any members of the church, bring them to be punished. But on the way, he's blinded by a light from heaven. He falls to the earth. Acts 9:1-7. He hears a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It's a good attitude, isn't it? Lord, what would you have me to do? And that ought to be my mindset. Whatever it is the Lord wants me to do, I'm going to do it. Now, he didn't tell him what to do to be saved. He told him where to go to find out. He said, arise. Remember, he had fallen to the earth. Arise, get up. And go into the city. That's Damascus. And it shall be told thee what thou must do. And whatever he was told was a must, right? It wasn't an option. It was essential, must. What was he told? Well, in order to understand all about that, you have to read other places that record about that story. You read also about that in Acts chapters 22 and 26. And you get the complete story when you read all of those. But in Acts chapter 22, you have a little additional information. When in the city of Damascus, there's a certain disciple, a Christian, by the name of Ananias, who comes to Saul. And he asks this question, Acts 22:16. And now why tarriest thou? In other words, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized. Why? What happens when you're baptized? He said, wash away thy sins. You see, when you're baptized, your sins are washed away. Sin is that which separates us from God. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 teaches, your sin separates you from God. And hide His face from you, He'll not hear you. I don't want to be in that state, do you? Why be separated from Him in sin when you have those washed away? Be nigh to Him. Sin is the transgression of God's law, 1 John 3, 4. Whenever I reach an age where I know the difference between right and wrong, and I choose the wrong, I do things I know I ought not be doing, or there are things I've not done that I know I should be, then I become guilty of sin. And I need to have that washed away. And that's what happens when you're baptized. That's why a person should want to be baptized, to have your sins washed away. I tell you another thing that happens when you're baptized. And that is when you're baptized, you call upon the name of the Lord. There's a lot of controversy about that today in the religious world as to how you call on the Lord's name. Some think you just say, Lord, Lord. But what did folks in Bible days do in calling upon the name of the Lord? Notice in the book of Romans chapter 10, Paul said in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do you do that? He says, how shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And then verse 16, He said, they have not obeyed the gospel. I learned from that how you call on the name of the Lord. By hearing the gospel, believing the gospel, and obeying the gospel. And that's what happened in Acts 22:16. Saul had heard the gospel, he believed the gospel, and he obeyed the gospel. He is told, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins. What's the rest of that? Calling on the name of the Lord. When you're baptized, you call on the Lord's name. As you've heard His word, believe it, and obey it. Another thing that happens when you're baptized. When you're baptized, you reach the death of Christ and come into contact with the blood of Christ. Now, the Bible teaches there's great value in the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Christ was shed, according to Matthew chapter 26 and in verse 28, for the remission of sins. I want my sins to be remitted. So I'm going to have to contact His blood. And according to Revelation 1, in verse 5, His blood was shed to wash away sins. Now, He shed His blood in His death, according to John chapter 19, verses 33 and 34. Jesus was on the cross. The Jews had a little tradition. If a fellow wasn't dead, they'd break his legs to speed up the dying process. But Jesus was already dead, and so one of the soldiers took a spear and pierced His side, and there came out blood. And so He shed His blood, His sin-remitting blood, sin-washing blood in His death. Now, I've got to come into contact with that. I've got to reach His death. How do I do that? How does that happen? Paul answers that in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. When he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. And so one of the things that happens when you're baptized is that you reach the Lord's death. And therefore, you're in contact with the blood of Christ and your sins are remitted and washed away. Thus, we could talk about baptized for the remission of sins and baptized to wash away sins. Another thing that will take place when you're baptized is you're made free from sin. In Romans chapter 6, verses 17 and 18, Paul said, but God be thanked. Why? That ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. When he talks about that form of doctrine delivered, that goes back to what we just talked about in verses 3 and 4. You see, there's a likeness between the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That's a form of doctrine. And our death to sin, our burial and baptism, and our rising from the waters of baptism to walk in newness of life. First of all, there's a death. Jesus was put to death, and we die to sin. We separate ourselves from that sinful behavior. And then Jesus was buried. He was buried in the heart of the earth, right? 3 days and three nights. We're buried in baptism, Romans 6, 3 and 4. And then the Lord was raised. There's the resurrection of Christ. He came forth from the grave. And we rise from the waters of baptism. We come up out of the waters to walk in newness of life. And so that form of doctrine is recorded in Romans 6, 3 and 4. And Paul said, then, when you were born, you die to sin, you're buried in baptism, you rise to walk in newness of life. When you do that, what happens when you're baptized? You're then made free from sin. And God be thanked when individuals who at one time were servants of sin have now been made free from all of that. Why be a servant of sin? Why be enslaved to sin when you can be made free from your sins? But I'll tell you another thing that happens when you're baptized, and that is the Bible teaches when you're baptized, you're washed, you're sanctified, and you're justified. Paul reminded the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 6:9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." That is, folks like that are not going to heaven. He says, "And such were some of you." Past. There were those that were guilty of those things. But he says, "Ye are." Present. Their situation has changed. "Ye are washed, ye are sanctified, you're justified." Let me ask you, when did that happen? That happened when they were baptized. And that's what will happen when you're baptized. Maybe you've been involved in fornication, adultery, idolatry, abusers of self with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers. It can be said of you when you're baptized, "Such were some of you, but ye are." Things have changed. You're no longer unrighteous because you've been made righteous. This happened when they were baptized. Acts 18:8 tells the story of when Paul went to Corinth. He preached the truth. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And when they were baptized, they had obeyed that form of doctrine. And they were washed, sanctified, and justified. I'll tell you another thing that will take place when you're baptized. And that is, when you're baptized, the Bible teaches you'll get into Christ. We'll allow this circle here to represent Christ. A lot of advantages of being in Christ. One thing that you have in Christ is redemption. The book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 24 teaches that. And so I want to be in the place where I can have redemption. Another thing that's in Christ is all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I want to have those, don't you? And so I need to be in Christ. Another thing that's available in Christ is salvation. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10 talks about the salvation which is in Christ Jesus. Also, in Christ is the hope and promise of eternal life. 1 John 5:11. John said, "This is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Now, how do you get into Christ? Let's say I decide to have those. Because if I'm not in Christ, if I'm outside of Christ, I'm in my sins, I've not been redeemed. Redemption is the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. Spiritual blessings. I don't have salvation if I'm lost. Promise of eternal life. How do I get that? Look at Galatians 3 and verse 27. Don't take my word for it. Read it in your Bible. Paul said, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." How do you put on Christ? Baptized into Him. And so when you're baptized, you'll get into Christ. And let me suggest to you another thing that the Bible talks about being in Christ, and that is, that's where a person becomes a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. And so when you're baptized, you'll become a new creature. Old things are passed away. As you put on the new man, as Paul talks about in Colossians chapter 3. And so when you're baptized, now that you're in Christ, you'll be the recipient of all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Since all spiritual blessings are in Christ, how many are outside of Christ? Not one. When you're baptized, you'll have the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1:7. When you're baptized, you'll have salvation. When you're baptized, you have the hope and the promise of life beyond the grave. Eternal life. You can't put a price on that, can you? To be able to go to bed at night and know that if you don't wake up, you'll be at a far better place. Isn't that something? That's valuable. And it doesn't make any difference what happens to you out here. Somebody might take your life physically, but you still have life beyond the grave in heaven above with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, these are some things that you will have when you're baptized. But also, when you're baptized, you obtain an inheritance. And so we'll add that to this, number 6, in this circle of things in Christ. There is an inheritance the Bible talks about. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 10, when Paul talked about in whom, that is in Christ, we have obtained an inheritance. And this inheritance is described in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 4 as an inheritance that is incorruptible. That is, it's not subject to decay and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And then finally, when you're baptized, I'll tell you another thing that will happen. And that is, you'll be reconciled. In Colossians 1, 18 through 24, the Bible uses that word reconciled. Paul talked about the Colossians, how that you were sometime alienated, and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That's the idea of being separated from God through their sins. He says, "Yet now hath he reconciled." Reconciled where? In the body. That's the church. "Of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." See, the word reconciled suggests two estranged parties. Two parties have been separated. And in this case, they're God and man. Man, because of his sin, has become separated from God. But God's made it possible for man to be reconciled, to be made nigh unto Him. You see, there are two groups of people. There are those who are far off. And then there are those that are nigh, those that are close. Why be afar off from God when you can be close to Him, when you can be nigh? When you're baptized, you're reconciled. Did you know that so many things happen when you're baptized? And so, as the disciple Ananias said unto Saul, "And now why tarriest thou?" You might say, as the man of Ethiopia, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Wednesday night, two individuals reached the conclusion they need to be baptized. And so we contacted the hotel just down the road, Holiday Inn Express, has a swimming pool. We've got garments and waders. They said, "We are welcome to make use of the pool. There's water." And so we traveled over there, and upon the confession of their faith, having repented of their sins, believed the gospel upon the teaching of the truth, were baptized. And all of these things happen and will happen when you're baptized. And when you're ready to be baptized, you let us know. And arrangements will be made. We'll go to the place where there is water, and you can be immersed in water so that all of these things that we've just talked about can take place. And we'll not dismiss this service without giving you the opportunity to do that. Upon the things that you've heard, should you be determined that you'd like to be baptized, you let us know that I'd like to do that. I realize I've been taught the truth, and there's sin in my life of which I'm guilty, and I want the remission of my sins. I want those to be forgiven. And I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe the gospel. And I'm repenting of my sins. I've made a determination I'm going to quit doing those things that are wrong. I want to do what's right. And I'm ready to confess my faith. Just like the man of Ethiopia, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And we'll take you and we'll bury you in the water, immerse you in water. And all these things can happen. You'll be added to the church, have reconciliation, be in Christ, be saved from your past sins, and be in a position that you weren't in before. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel. Maybe you've already been baptized, but you've fallen away. You've become unfaithful. You know, the Bible teaches in Acts 8, when Simon was baptized, that he continued with the apostles, and he tried to buy something that can't be bought with money. And he was told, "Thy money perish with thee. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." He was told, repent and pray. If I've already been baptized and I've not been faithful, there's sin that has entered into my life that I need to correct. I need to change that. And we'll be happy to pray with you and for you, that you might be forgiven. If we can assist anyone at this time in making your life right with God, whether you need to be baptized or need the prayers of the church on your behalf, would you make it known by coming to the front as together we stand and sing.